Jesus himself stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. You think? I mean, really, how many of you, someone who had a very good friend of yours who had died, and you had gone through hell and earth between his life and his political sort of impact on the world and his painful death and all those things, and a couple of weeks later, he appeared in front of you? Jesus was always a very physical person. And sometimes in the church and in our world, we forget that. We just think of the world of ideas and images and words, lots of words. And yet Jesus was all about being with people and being in their experience. And so he had left their experience. And he had used words and told them from time to time, "I will die and I will be raised. God will raise me back from the dead so that you know that you can have life." And they probably went, "Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a little crazier than we thought." But there he was, all of a sudden, standing among them. Fear and terror and all sorts of emotions. It says later that even though they had much joy, they were disbelieving. When I was a child, I grew up with my grandmother in our home, my father's mother, and she was a strong, short, stout German woman. I can imagine, get a picture from that. And she could be quite fierce, though I never experienced that. I'm sure my mother and father did. But being the youngest and being at home with her, I never experienced that side of her. Instead, she taught me to knit and to read, and she taught me to love dried apricots. She gave me toffee, remember Macintosh's toffee, to pull out my teeth when they were loose, rather than my threats about having my tooth tied to the door handle and it slammed shut. She was wonderful to me and was a great part of my upbringing. And when I was 9, my grandmother died. She was at the, those days, ripe old age of 83. It was not a huge surprise to anyone but me. And when she died, the next day, my mother found me weeping on the couch, inconsolable. And she came and put her arms around me and said, "Are you weeping because you miss Grandma?" And I said, "Oh, no. I'm crying because I will never be as good as Grandma, and I will not get to heaven, and I will never see her again." Now, where did that come from? My parents certainly never taught that to me. My grandmother would never even have thought to talk about that. And there's only one place I can think it came from. Probably the Book of Common Prayer. But anyhow, I had this idea. And it was strong in me. And it took me a long time to get over it. It took me a long time to believe that, first of all, I was good enough for anything. And second of all, that there was more to life. And once I began to believe that, I began once again to experience my grandmother's presence in my life. And to this day, I cannot eat a dried apricot without thinking of her. It just goes to show that those experiences in our lives that are embodied are the ones that touch us most deeply. And that Jesus in his resurrection stood among them and said, "Here, touch me. Give me some food to eat." He was trying to prove to them that, yes, there was life after life. And we have to be reminded of that almost every moment of every day. Now, at this time of the year, it's easy to think about resurrection and new life. Just look outside. I know our gardeners are ready to go to plant new flowers, to get everything looking beautiful. And it's good to remember that new life. I've noticed on the streets walking down Elgin, people are in the cafes, and all of a sudden, the city went from, "It's snowing again," to, "Hi, how you doing?" new life. We experience it this time of year. New life here. Look around you today and all this art. This is resurrection and life and beauty and something bigger than ourselves expressed on our walls. Art is a way for us to experience a little bit of resurrection. And we're going to hear lots of wonderful music today. That's another way that indeed God works through our lives to remind us that there's life, and there's life after life, and that we have an opportunity to rejoice in it. Now, we're really lucky in this church because on Easter Sunday, we had a baptism of a six-year-old at the 8 a.m. service. What a great rejoicing and symbol of new life. The church was beautiful for all of the services at Easter. And this Sunday, we get to bless Carol and Adele. Now, we already know they're already blessed, wouldn't you agree? However, to hold you in the arms of us in this place, in this circle, and to give our blessing to your 25-year relationship and now your civil marriage is a moment of resurrection. Even if you don't believe in God, you can't help but believe in love. And so therefore, maybe you actually do believe a little bit in God. So we will stand with them, and we will experience that moment. Next Sunday, we will baptize Haley at this service. Most adorable little 7-month-old. Of course, every child is adorable at 7 months old. But she is lovely, and we will celebrate with her and her family and parents. Every one of these, a moment in this church that will remind us of new life. But we don't live in this church. We live in the world as well. And so the important thing for us is to remember to take the embodiment that we experience here into the world. We have so much that we can carry. The music, the art, the prayers, the love, the water, the wine, the bread. What touches us in this place? For me, it will be the apricots, always. For me, it will be many things. But each one of us has the opportunity to leave this place today at the celebration and take the words, "We are witnesses to these things." Every one of us is a witness today to a resurrection moment here in this place. And so may each of us live a new life with love and grace and peace and hope for all those who often don't have any of those things. Happy resurrection moments to you. Amen.